Well, amen. The word is mercy. What would we do without mercy? We'd be in a lot of trouble. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew 16 tonight. Matthew in chapter 16. I want to just say while I'm thinking about it, I want to just mention about the Dover Blitz and the Dover Blitzes. Yeah, plural. Coming up, we're going to be having... Some say, you know, I just can't walk that far. I understand that. We all have different situations and how we can be used and serve in this capacity of getting the gospel out to people. I will say, first of all, probably I think the average time that somebody was out walking yesterday was about 30 minutes, 30 to 40 minutes. And so, you know, it depends. But then maybe you still like that's, we could use people that could, some could drive. Maybe if you drove somebody 40 minutes, could go down to a 30-minute walk because you drop them off and go down and pick them up. So we could use you, if you can drive, bring your car and do that. There's some that could be involved in that. Others helping after the breakfast is made, somebody to help clean it up. So there's other opportunities to be involved in this Dover Blitz. And if you say, I'd like to be involved, I don't know how, come and ask me. I will find a way to give you an opportunity to serve the Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Let's pray together as we get started. Father, we are thankful for your mercy. Lord, we're thankful for your love for us and your so much tonight that we might give thanks for, and heart and mind is flooded with all that you've done for us. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us to receive the truth from your word that would really help us to please you. Lord, a life that would be honoring and glorifying to you. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage your people tonight, Lord. Thank you for each one that's come out tonight, Lord, the desire to hear from your word. Lord, I pray that you'd lead, guide, and direct. We might be filled and directed by your spirit, and we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The question of the ages. This is the question that really has the greatest significance of all eternity. You know, when we'll often ask people when sharing the gospel with them, we'll say something like this. We'll say, if you died today, do you know where you spend eternity? I've said that countless times. You know, it's kind of an entry to find out where somebody thinks, you know, where they're at and so forth. Maybe, or we'll say it another way, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? But another question sometimes I'll often ask is, in a little bit different way, I'll say, if you stood before God, why would he let you in heaven? That gets a little tougher, right? Not a yes or no. Why would you? You can find out a lot about somebody on that one. But I've often thought of God simply asking this question at the gate of heaven. Maybe just God would stay. I don't think it's going to go like this. But if it was going to go like this, God would say something like this: what did you do with my son? What did you do with my son? Who is Jesus? Verse 14. So in the end of verse 13, Jesus says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. Of course, it means Elijah or Jeremiah, and in the Greek there's the way it's said. He said, they're really saying this, to most people, Jesus is, or rather was, a good teacher, a great prophet, or something of that sort. Do you know, tonight, most mainline religions believe Jesus was a great man. Muslims revere Jesus as one of the major prophets in history. In the Quran, there's five major prophets, and Jesus is one of the major ones. He's actually in the Quran more time than Muhammad is. Jesus is a very, very important person in Islam. Buddhists see Jesus also as a great teacher. Maybe even they think maybe even he was an incarnation of the Buddha. Hindus see Jesus as a god, little g god, which is one of their other 330 million gods, but probably higher up on there. Even the Jews recognize Jesus as a marvelous teacher. We find that even in the New Testament, they're commenting in that way. Throughout history, Jesus has been considered one of the greatest individuals that has ever existed. But that really isn't the question, is it? It's not really the question that how great is the man named Jesus. Look at verse 15. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? That's the title of the message tonight. Who do you say I am? And I say that so they can title it. He wanted to ask that question. He said, yeah, okay, I asked, who do they say? And so the men in the community say that Jesus must be a great man. But the question Jesus wanted to know is, who do you, my followers, who do you believe I am? Verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Duh. Right? Seems like such a simple statement to those of us that have read this many, many times. We've been in church. You're here on a Sunday night. You've heard that. I mean, that's not really, it just seems kind of, as I say, it's kind of a duh statement. Yeah, it's who he is. But I want you to understand this evening something about this, about what happened that day. And continues, in every new believer that puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 17 now. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is telling us about something that is supernatural. Okay, supernatural feels kind of weird, doesn't it? We almost don't like to talk about supernatural because it feels kind of mysticism and kind of, you know, like superpowers or something, right? We don't like, we almost, it's kind of strange in our society that we've kind of, it's almost like the dumbing down of Christianity. It's almost like we don't want to talk about God moving in a supernatural way because then we're kind of getting charismatic and we kind of get weird. Well, that's not really, you know, I've had people tell me some stuff and they say, well, you know, God really moved in my heart to do this. And I'm thinking, yeah, did he though? You know, and you're thinking, really, is that what happened? And it kind of can get a little bit, you know, because we can't put our hands around that. We can't really get a verse that says, well, you know, that's not exactly the phraseology that Jesus would use. So, right? Something gets a little bit weird for that. So we kind of take a little space from it. And we have a hard time realizing this tonight is that God speaks to us. But he does. And this statement, this confession that Jesus, this confession of Jesus Christ as the Messiah is not the realization of the flesh, but of the Spirit of God. The Lord is saying something when he said to Simon Bar-Jonah, the son of Jonah, is what he's saying. He said, listen, blessed art thou. Something has happened in your life that's different than everyone else. Something happened in your life. This isn't something you came to the realization of. This isn't something you think, well, shouldn't they all have? Yeah. You know what's odd to me? When I got saved, when I was 22 years old, and to the best of my knowledge, the first time I heard the gospel was when I got saved. And I thought, man, when everybody else hears about this, they're going to want it too. And And I started sharing it with people, and they didn't want it. And I thought, what is, you know, and you know what I tried to do? I tried to teach it better, tell it more convincingly. There's some people that I have shared the gospel with so many times, and I'll share it, and you just plead with them, and you just go, and you try to, and I think, and sometimes I think if I just say the right thing, it'll click. But it doesn't really work like that. I wish it did. I wish we had like a mystical saying, but listen, that's not what we're talking about here tonight. We're talking about something that to truly confess Christ as Lord and Savior is a manifestation that the Spirit of God has spoken to you. It's what he's saying here. It's what he's saying. He said, listen, you're not going to just come to that. Say, well, yeah, I heard about it. Listen, people can, why is it that you could sit there and share the gospel with somebody? There could be three people sitting there. One believes, one believes not, and one says, oh, I'll hear it again another time. I'll try it again. Why is that? I mean, it's the same story, the same message, the same time, to the same group, and yet, you see, God speaks to us about this thing. Blessed is that man that the Spirit of God speaks to and reveals to you this thing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and is God in the flesh, is the Messiah. Blessed because he or she has been introduced into the family of God. You're blessed now. Now you get the opportunity to get under that spout where the blessing comes up. You know what? Everybody can't get there. You say, oh, there it is. You go up there and bam, there's a wall. I almost swiped out there. That would have been ugly. Okay, that was free entertainment there. This is what I'm telling you, folks. Some folks want to live without Christ but get the blessings of Christ. And they go over to that blessing and they say, hey, why do they do it? Why do they get blessed? And they go over there. Listen, you can't get in. You can't get in. Hey, listen, you don't get into the sheepfold except by the sheep gate, right? And the shepherd, good shepherds, don't want to let you in. There's no jumping over the back fence. This just doesn't work. So he says, listen, you're blessed because you're introduced into the family of God. Blessed is that one because they will now have the Spirit of God indwelling them. Blessed because they've heard from the Father. What Jesus said here in this verse is that this confession of Christ as the Son of God is evidence that God has spoken to you. He has specifically and individually communicated this truth and understanding to you. Individually. Spoke to you in a way that only it was meant for you. When God spoke to you, you heard the message and you began to be drawn. Jesus said, no man come unto me except the Father draw him. So God began to draw you and you began to turn and listen. And God said, I'm going to speak to you as an individual. Can you imagine? I reckon God's busy. You know? I mean, just holding the world together. You know, I mean, just gravity seems to be like a lot of work. I'm just saying. I don't know what busy to God means. I don't think he is busy like we think of busy. But I will say there's a lot going on in the world at any moment. And on that day that I heard the gospel and God began to draw me and I began to cry out to God and say, God, would you, I just want to trust Christ as my Savior. And God came and spoke to my heart and let me personally, came to me one-on-one. Wow, that's blessed. Now, do you believe that? Well, if we believe that, then it begs us to also believe that God will continue speaking to us. It's not a one and done. No. If God spoke to us, as Jesus Christ said here, that listen, you didn't get that on your own. My Father, he revealed it to you. Then it begs us to say, if God spoke to us about the first thing, he's going to continue speaking to us about the other things. And there's a lot of stuff. Right? A lot of stuff. There's a lot of choices. I always ask, how many choices are there? I mean, we can't count them. per hour. You know, it's just a lot of stuff. And so God is constantly doing this. Listen, probably now that God now as our Father will speak to us more consistently, right? This is a blessed thing. This is the blessings. The blessings God speaks to me. Now, upon this truth, it's established there, the Lord began to reveal the future plan of the church. Jesus Christ begins to deal with here in this passage after he talks about that. The vehicle, the church, the vehicle, the organization, the organism for continuing the work of Jesus Christ on this earth. He said, listen, I'm just going to be here a little bit of time. He said, you're going to do a lot more. He said, listen, what the Lord was doing is establishing more than just a few years of ministry. You understand? He was establishing a vehicle that could continue on doing the work of Jesus Christ. That was more important than his own life. Matter of fact, his own life had to be snuffed out on the cross. Had to be. It's the only way for it to work. Amen? The only way for it, if there was another way, I reckon that God would have found another way. But that was the only way. So he begins to reveal that plan. Look at verse 18 now. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I want to just break this down real quick. I don't want to belabor it, but Jesus just said here, he said, I say unto thee, to you, Peter. He said, I'm saying to you, Peter, that you're a stone, is what he said. You're a stone, a piece of a, you know, I don't want to say he's a pebble, he's not, but it doesn't mean that. It just means it's a small stone, a part, a piece of this church that will be built. You, who the Father had revealed this truth of Christ, the Son of the living God. By the way, each of our names could be put there in some sense. Just as, you know, had we lived a couple thousand years ago and God chose for us to be the first person to get this revealed to him. But any of us, we're all kind of in that same sense. We're all that Petros, that stone that's going to be part of that work that Jesus Christ is trying to continue. But today we can each say, each one that has confessed Christ as Lord and Savior, that we're a stone that has been engraven into the work of Christ. And he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. That rock, there's only one rock. The rock means like a bedrock, or it talks about the idea of a cliff or a embankment, and not like a piece, but, you know, what you build on. There's only one cornerstone. There's only one place that there's the foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. He is what we're all built upon. Not even hell will prevail against what he's going to build. That's what he said there. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The grave, Jesus proved that the grave had no victory over the work which Jesus Christ founded. Now, we find then the empowering of the work. Look at verse 19. It said, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I don't want to belabor these. I'm not trying to deal with all the theology and all that, but there's much debate about that idea. I want to just say here, the Lord has given to Peter, to this man who had now been revealed that who the Messiah was, he's given him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Keys. Like somebody still hasn't got their key they left to their house. And a key is used to typically open a door, right, to get in. The kingdom of heaven that he speaks of here isn't going to be, the pearly gates. There's a key. Can I get in? No, it's talking about the kingdom of heaven is where Christ rules and reigns in the heart of man today. That's right here, right? This right here. We are now the kingdom of God is us that are now servants of God here on this earth. not a visible kingdom, right? But a spiritual kingdom. We're serving him. And the entry into that kingdom of heaven is through none other than the gospel message. That's the only entryway in. It's not through baptism, not through good works, not through anything. It's through the gospel message, which really is this: Jesus Christ is our Savior. That's the only way in, right? And so he's talking about these things here. He's bringing this place, and listen, the keys are therefore the gospel message. Furthermore, the empowerment to take that message to the world to open the kingdom to them. Salvation it's not restrictive. It's not exclusive. It is to be open to whomsoever may come. Isn't it interesting that we're not very good judges of who makes a good Christian or who would make a good Christian? We often want to look at the folks that we're dealing with in our Sunday school this morning, and those that come in, you know, goodly apparel and golden rings, and you know, we want to give them the good spot when they come into the assembly. And those in the vile raiment and poor, we want to say, hey, you know, go stand over yonder or sit under my footstool, you know. And the Lord, in the book of James there, he talks about, he comes up and says, hasn't God chosen the poor? Right? Hasn't he chosen those? You look through the New Testament, we don't really see a lot of opportunities of great, wealthy, wise fellows, maybe just some fishermen, right? Some harlots, I'm just saying, adulterers, adulteresses, right? Others, maniacs. I mean, we're not really good at picking out who would be, you know. And so the thing is, what he's saying here, listen, what I'm saying is salvation isn't exclusive. We're not good at picking. It's better to get out of that business. Let God have that business. we just use the key for anybody, right? Anybody that will come that, and we can share the gospel with, just go ahead and try it out on them. Amen? And see if God will speak to them about who the Messiah is. And listen, there was going to be a time that the kingdom of heaven was going to be open to every man. But it wasn't quite yet why Jesus was on the earth. He wasn't done with what he was finishing up with the Jews and what he was fulfilling what was coming and fulfilling God's promises and God's plans and so many things that were prophesied. He said in verse 20, it goes on, he says, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And so there was going to be a time. Jesus was going to finish the work. Then the kingdom was going to be open for all the world to come in. Verse 21, so from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Okay, that was the introduction. I want to get to the message now. Message is shorter, sure. Okay, we're halfway or so. Look at verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. Whew! Now that escalated quickly, right? I mean, listen, just a literal moment ago, Jesus was saying how Peter was blessed. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. I mean, it was just an amazing thing. And listen, the Father had revealed the Son to him. This is new information, really, in the gospel. This is new. Nobody had claimed he was the Messiah before. Now it was coming out. He said, wow, this is great. My father spoke to you about that. This is an exciting thing. We literally just had a serious, earth-shattering revelation from God unto man. Now, Jesus is calling Peter Satan. Okay, I think it's amazing. It's like, okay, say, I mean, see what's going on here. Sometimes we read through the Bible because we heard this story a lot, and we just read through it and like, yeah, that happened. I know that happened. I read it so many times. But it's kind of really strange that how do you one time you're like, wow, this is amazing, Satan. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing. Look, can I just say here, what on earth is going on? What's going on here? It's really this. There's a choice. There's a choice we must make. And it's not just a one-time choice. It's a constant choice. To not choose or to try to remain neutral is not an option. Neutral is a really strange concept. You know, when you think about it, I mean, yeah, I don't really want to say, well, what do you think about that? Well, I don't, you know, they're my friends and they're my friends. And so I don't want to, you know, I want to stay friends with everybody, but, you know, and so I just want to love everybody. Can't we kumbaya? You know, can I just love my Christian friends and my worldly friends? Can I just love them both? And, you know, and yeah, we can love them both. Doesn't mean we can live like both of them, right? And so there's this thing of neutrality. Can I just say this? To choose or to remain, it's not an option to remain neutral. To remain neutral is a choice. There are only two choices to be made. To continue the work that Jesus Christ started upon his death. Or to resist the work. That's it, folks. We're either continuing it or you're resisting it. You say, well, I've never stopped anybody from getting saved. Well, I don't want to make this too painful for us, but I'm just saying this: if God has chosen you to be the dispenser of the gospel with the keys to the kingdom, and you say, I don't want to do that. I don't, you know, they might laugh at me, right? They might not want to be my friend. They may call me names, whatever it is, or maybe just, you know, you might lose a promotion or whatever the case may be. We make a choice. Let me tell you about something that was happening, a story in my life. When I first got saved, when I was still in the Air Force, I would always carry, in my BDUs, I had this big old cargo pocket, and I had this little Bible. It was a full Bible, but it was a small one. It had, you know, the snap kind of cover, and I'd kept it in there. And I'd always, anytime I had time, I'd pull out my Bible and read it. Man, I was fired up about it. When I got saved, it was just everything in my life. It was exciting. So every time I had an opportunity, I would pull out that Bible and I'd start reading it. I'm not saying I understood it all or much of it, but it's like I was drawn to the Word of God. It's kind of weird. And so, so I was reading it, so one day I was still in the Air Force, I had to go to sick call, and I was waiting. And anybody knows about sick call in the military, it's a long wait. You know, you just don't go, and it's not a fast process ever. So it's a good time to sit there. I pulled out my Bible, and sitting there reading my Bible, and God begins to speak to my heart. And he said, hey, there's a fellow over there, give him a track. I was still pretty new. I wasn't so great at talking. I'm not that I'm great at talking now, but I wasn't so great at just going, but God just said, hey, just give that fellow a track. And I looked up, kind of, you know, and I sized him up. You know what I mean? Nah, he ain't going to be interested. You know what I'm saying? Nah, he ain't going to be interested. So I went back to reading the Bible, you know, because I was reading the Bible. And that was better. Yeah. And so I was back to reading the Bible. And God then starts pricking my heart again. He says, how about you give that guy over there a track? And I look up again, I look over and I think, no, I don't want to do that. So I go back to, now I'm just looking at words. You know what I'm saying? I was in a terrible, terrible battle. I didn't know it, didn't really understand it at the time. I'm just sitting here, I'm just saying no, and I'm resisting, and I'm just like, you know, and God really wanted me to do some great and mighty things. He wanted me to, because I had a pocket full of tracks over here in case I wanted to give somebody one. I'm just saying, though, I don't know how to talk my way out of that thing. I had this whole pack, and all God said, just go, pull one out of that and say, hey, I want to give you something. But somehow I'm sitting here battling this thing. And so now I'm getting mad at God because he won't leave me alone. I've done a lot of other stuff. Listen, I've been doing a lot of other stuff for God. And I started telling him about the things I've been. No, I was. I was saying, God, I've done this. I've made this in my life. And I've done this thing. Listen, God, I go to church every service. I mean, listen, God, I go to visitation with church. You know, I do all the things. And I'm just kind of getting mad that God wants me to do this other thing too. I get disgusted. I'm just going to be honest. I got disgusted, closed my Bible, put it in my pocket, and then I buttoned the buttons. Yeah. That was like, I never buttoned those buttons, but that time I'm like, I don't know. It's weird now talking about it. But that's the way I was. And then I'm sitting there kind of pouting in the spirit. You know? I mean, if somebody looked at me, they'd have probably thought, man, that's a good Christian. They probably would have. Because on the outside, I still had the, but in my spirit, I was kicking the dirt. You know, I'm just saying that's. So then God, and then the Lord begins to prick my heart again. You know what he says this time? Why don't you give that guy over there a track? So I grudgingly said, okay, Lord, fine. I reached in my pocket, grabbed that track. Just then, the receptionist or the nurse came out, called that guy's name. He was gone. Whew, man. I'm going to tell you, it changed so many things in that moment right there in my heart. Because then, you know what happened? All of a sudden, I realized the battle that was going on. Resistance is bound in the work of Satan. That's what he said. I know that sounds so exaggerated, doesn't it? Well, Satan is the one. We kind of, you know, people got crazy with that. But this is what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, you, Peter, want to stop the work? Get behind me, Satan. That what you want to do. By stopping the gospel, by stopping the message to go forth to somebody, that is of the working of Satan. The Lord doesn't really mince words at all right here. I mean, he doesn't put kid gloves on to deal with this, really. We like to kid glove each other, but Jesus doesn't. Folks, we shouldn't pretend that Jesus is okay with neutrality today either. I want to tell you tonight, he's not okay with it. He's not okay with us any more today than he was then, of just us kind of standing in the middle and not committing. And, you know, we don't need any more Switzerlands, you know, a neutral nation. You know, they've been neutral for 500 years. 500 years, they say, well, we don't want to get involved. I mean, world wars have gone on around them. They said, no, just leave us alone. You know, during World War II, they shot down both Allied and Axis planes. All they want to do is protect their own airspace, but we're going to shoot anybody down. And like they just stayed out of it. Doesn't matter. There's an evil, wicked, vile killer. We're staying out of it. Doesn't it seem odd? Doesn't it seem odd when somebody, like maybe a whole world, is on their way to hell? Do we just say, I'm going to stay out of it? When we say it like that, it feels kind of a little different, doesn't it? I'm going to tell you, that day, I'm sitting in there. I'm telling you, I went from just in moments, I went from being a pious Bible reader, reading my Bible all the time. I didn't think I was doing it to be showy, But you know, I kind of realized I was. And in just those moments, I realized, wow, I never did see that person again. Sometimes God's given me opportunities to fix what I did wrong. That one he never did. I never forgot about it. And I thought, man, I've tried to endeavor to say this, Lord, if you ever speak to my heart about somebody to give me a track, I'm not going to say no. I'm not saying I've been perfect, but I don't want to fail because I don't want to get in the way of that thing. You know, it's interesting. After 500 years, Switzerland has decided to come out of neutrality, and they've put sanctions on Russia. Since the 1600s, they finally said, you know, enough's enough. We're locking down Russian oligarchs' money. Can't get to it. You know what we need is those Christians in America to come out of neutrality as well. Yeah. The Lord had told Peter that there was a problem in his thinking, in his will, in his desire. Verse 23, he said this, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Peter was savoring, delighting himself, caring about the affection for the things of man. I mean, I think evidently he thought that to protect and defend the Lord Jesus Christ was the most important work. Self-preservation is our go-to, isn't it? It's our natural go-to. Listen, you tell somebody this, and I'm just going to say it like you tell somebody this, it's either your job or to stand for the Lord. 9 out of 10 Christians are going to pick their job. Well, that went quiet. Good. My experience, maybe here it's different. Maybe here everybody, anyway. Well, you're here on a Sunday night, so maybe this is the crowd that says that. But I'm going to tell you what, I've seen people that have moved, literally picked up and moved for a different job, making more money. I said, hey, you know, is there a church? They said, I don't know. Hope I can find one when I get there. And I just thought, you know, there's some stinking thinking there. You know, it's the thinking that says, listen, I'm savoring us the things of man. By the way, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with getting another job. I'm not even saying there's anything wrong with moving. But for us not to consider what God is trying to do with our life, like we're detached from that. You know, I'm going to be neutral. Hope things work out. Well, I find rarely do they. Without a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. But the Lord was clear here, the work must go on. Jesus had a work to do, and stopping that work wasn't the answer. Making light of, interrupting truth, and resisting the spread of the gospel is never something that's part of the Lord's interest. I can remember sharing the gospel with somebody. I was sitting there sharing the gospel with my grandfather. He had a stroke from the time before I can remember when I was a little boy. He had a stroke and he couldn't speak, never spoke. He lived with us 6 months out of the year. He lived with us 6 months and lived with my uncle 6 months. And so for many years, as my teenage years, we grew up with him. And after I got saved, when I was 22 years old, I got saved. I wanted to go back right away and share the gospel with my grandpa. He couldn't speak, never could speak. He could use that cane though. And I needed it, so it was good. So I would go up there, and I thought, you know, how am I going to share the gospel? So I took the wordless book, the little wordless book, and I went and began to show. And I'm showing it to him, and my cousin that's there, the only person in our whole extended family, she's the one that used to have the church bus come and pick me up wherever she was going to church. She came up, and I'm in the middle of trying to share this with my grandma. She comes up, hey, I know what you're doing. I know what that is. Just kind of like we're just telling a fable or something. And it was weird to me. I thought, we're at the precipice of my grandfather had cancer and he was going to die. It was when. And I can remember, and I've seen other cases like that where it's like, I don't know how to react. And so people are getting a little tense. And so I'm going to cool down the situation. People want to do that. Oh yeah, people want to do that. The gospel is being preached and it's getting a little intense. People are getting angry. So we're going to come in. I'm going to kind of just be in the middle ground. Hey, let's just talk. Let's just, Well, they're fixing to go to hell, maybe forever. And maybe we're coming to this place. Listen, I'm just saying, Jesus said the work must go on. We have work to do. There is never a time that sharing the gospel of Christ is inappropriate. Say that again. There's never a time that sharing the gospel of Christ is inappropriate. Now, there is an inappropriate way to do it. Okay, there is an inappropriate, I'll concede on that. But we're not going to get to that tonight. Folks, here's our answer. Look at verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. You know, it's interesting. Our world right now is coming up on a threat of a nuclear war. I mean, you know, crazy men at the helm never know what they'll do. Oh, that's when we really need the mercy of God. We deserve. Well, listen, I want to say this. Our world is coming up on the threat of a nuclear war. It's a marvelous time. What? That sounds a strange way to say that, isn't it? Well, it causes us to think about our time being limited, doesn't it? I mean, I'm telling you, I don't know what all this, I don't like to predict things because if it's not in here, it's most likely going to have a good chance of being wrong. But I always think about these bombs start flying and heaven's coming. I don't know how that's all going to look. But I'll tell you what, it does start us to thinking time isn't as unlimited as we think. Do you want to be a key holder? I mean, one that opens the door to the kingdom for others. Do you want to be that person? Listen, I understand we're not all going to be doing the same thing. We're not all of us are going to do it the same way. I talked about already, there's different ways. Just with the Dover Blitz. And the Dover Blitz is just like one piece of what we're doing, but it's a great opportunity to get involved. Great opportunity to get involved and putting some gospel literature on somebody's door. Then, man, I'll tell you, you want to talk about the most non-confrontational way you can share the gospel. It's like, and then, you know, I mean, it's like, I mean, canvassing is like almost you don't deal with anybody. I mean, we did get one person got hollered out for soliciting, but for the most part, it is like, you know what I used to do in the grocery store? I'd come up. And I'm like, I want to give him a track. I'm thinking about giving him a track. The register's going. I'm thinking about giving him a track. Hey, and then we're done. Hey, can you read this when you have some time? And I don't even look back. You know what I'm saying? It's like, preacher does that. I'm just saying, I'm just like you. You know, I mean, now it's all self-checkout. That machine doesn't take them. I think it really has caused a bit of a deal with all that stuff. We don't see people. You know these people down at the Dollar General? They ought to be sick and tired of getting tracks. I don't think they are yet, though. I don't know. Maybe. You know what'd be great? Isn't it? You know what's great when you go and give somebody a track? Say, oh yeah, I have that one. Yeah. No, that's great. You know what it says? It says folks around here are distributing them. Yeah, I've got that one. Hey, you got any new ones? I say, hey, I got it. Because what I'll do, I got a new one. How about this? By the way, we got some new tracks out here. Did y'all notice that? We do have some new tracks. So if you, all the people you wore out before, start over. It's not going to be the same way for all of us. Can I tell you, something about knocking doors? I'm just telling you, I'm half afraid. Every time I knock on a door, I'm half afraid somebody's going to answer. I almost don't want them to answer. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, I'm there for them to come and I can talk to them. But I'm like, and then they open the door, and I'll just, you know, I start talking to them. And then once I get talking to them, I'm just excited to be there, excited to get to share the gospel. But can I tell you, it's okay to be nervous. That's just normal, right? I mean, that's just, we're human, and we're not all going to do it the same way. And by the way, door knocking is probably one of the most intense ways. But I will say this. When I'm with people like friends or family, you're just trying to sit there thinking, man, I'm trying to, how can I get the gospel in? And you start thinking, you start saying a couple things, and your uncle says, don't start preaching to me now. I'm thinking, man, I didn't get started yet. You know, it's so frustrating. I was going to, but you cut me off. That's tough. But you know, when I go knocking on somebody's door, and I say, yeah, I'm Tim Hewitt of Lighthouse Baptist Church, they're not surprised when I start talking to them about Jesus. It's like, it's easy. Yeah, I'm here to... Uh-oh, I'm out of time. Okay, I'm telling you, it's just so easy because they know what I'm there for, and they don't, I mean, they may not always want to listen, but it's not weird when I start talking about, listen, there's going to be different ways, different opportunities. Some go to the nursing home, get to share the gospel with people there, different things. Let me just, we're either opening that door or we're standing in the doorway blocking it. Give up your will, he said. Deny yourself. That, my friends, is the only place where we're going to find real life in Christ. We live in a generation that's so full of depression, self-interest, self-will, self-desire. A time when we've coined the phrase, first world problems. Y'all heard about that? You know, like, you know, Starbucks isn't even letting us sit inside now. It's just ridiculous. You know, I mean, kind of stuff. And I was once saying that too. I'm just, my girls are like, you said that. I know. I mean, you know, sometimes you're like complaining about stuff and sometimes your mind goes back to like, what's wrong with me? That's kind of the world we live in. So self-absorbed. What is the profit of gaining this world, all that this world has to offer? I mean, can I tell you, this world is great. We're living in a world that's full of wonder. Electronics, games, social media. Man, our world. I mean, listen, you can just sit in a corner by yourself and never run out of stuff to swipe up on. You know what I'm saying? It's just, but too many of us have squandered away countless hours that will never be rewarded on that day. Let's put down our flag of neutrality and pick up a few tracks. Yeah? You'll never regret attempting to open the kingdom of heaven for someone. You'll never regret that. But can I tell you, I promise you this, you will regret not trying.